Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. Well, as I sought the Lord, what is going to follow in the next several days is what the Lord put on my heart. And I've entitled the message, Called to Greatness. What does that word mean by definition? I think we have an understanding fairly well personally what it is, but by definition, it means remarkable in magnitude, degree, or effectiveness, eminent, distinguished, remarkably skilled. And of course, there are throughout the centuries, they've been those that we have been looking to for inspiration, the great artists, the great writers, the poets, those who have been skilled in discovering things. We've looked to exceptional feats of accomplishment and called them great. But there's also another meaning, which for a child of God has a special significance, and it means markedly superior in character or quality. Whereas that first definition referred to actual verifiable, measurable accomplishments, things that are actually done, this other concept of greatness as applies to character is something that one can't measure, but it's something that belongs in the very heart and soul of a person. It's how they respond to adverse circumstances, difficult situations. We look up to individuals that have had courage and strength to stand in the most difficult of situations, and they inspire us. And in fact, I'd like to share just a short excerpt from, it's a novel, actually, and there wasn't anything spiritual in terms of the novel itself. It was Western, to be honest. But it talks about the concept of greatness. Let me just share it with you. He writes, "To endure and to surmount the ills of life, any man could be great." This is important. He says, he had his choice, and that is a choice we make, to realize at last, to face the inevitable fight in any walk of life, to work and to endure, to slave and suffer in silence, to stand the bloody bruises and broken bones, to bite the tongue and hold back the gasp, to plod on down the trails or the roads or the streets, and be true to an ideal, to endure the stings and blows of misfortune, to bear up under loss, to fight the bitterness of defeat and the weakness of grief, to be a victor over anger, to smile when tears were close, to resist disease and evil men and base instincts, to hate hate and to love love, to go on when it would seem good to die, to seek ever the glory and the dream, to look up with unquenchable faith in something ever more to be. That was what any man could do, and so be great. Well, that's certainly true for a Christian. In terms of people in the world, they have very limited vision of hope or success, because if they don't recognize the reality of eternity that faces every man when they die. But a Christian, regardless of how difficult life may be at the present moment, we have the promises that are in God's Word that assure us that if we will be faithful to the Lord, He will bring us through whatever the difficulty is, and we can be assured when our time is over, when He, Jesus, returns to this earth, that we will have demonstrated our commitment, our faithfulness to the Lord, regardless of the pain, the struggles, the problems that are a part of this life. Jesus said, He said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And so in every human heart, I believe there's a deep hunger for courage, basically. We love heroes, don't we? We are inspired with factual reports of historical events, what individuals did that required great courage, or in art or in literature. We're inspired by stories of bravery and of courage. We love heroes. That's the way it is. I mean, when I was a child, Superman was a big thing, or the Lone Ranger, someone that would go about doing good and not seeking fame or success for themselves, but just wanting to help others. And this the theme of the heroic, it's the inspiring theme of countless books and poems and stories and movies. What are we responding to? We're responding to courage. It's what an individual or a group of individuals would do to lay down self-interest and to be concerned about a noble aim, a noble goal. And as we look at the darkness of the times in which we're living, the perversion of this world, the Bible tells us in the end times there are perilous times that are coming and even are here. The world is characterized by selfishness, no affiliation with anything greater than oneself. It's all about me. And this sort of self-centered attitude, just seeking one's survival, if you will, because the antithesis to greatness is selfishness, littleness. The opposite of fear is courage. And it takes courage to live as a strong man or woman in this world. And the only way we can do that is by following the statutes of God's word, believing that we have a king. While we may have tribulation in this world, a time is coming when He is going to put every enemy underfoot, sin, death, and the devil. And we shall know that because He is the truth, there is no different aspects of truth as far as the ultimate reality. Jesus alone, God Himself, made Himself, paid a terrible sacrifice to reveal Himself to mankind in the fullness of time. And so the fact that we aspire to greatness, we are inspired by stories and testimonies of people that have done brave and wonderful and courageous things. Do you ever think about why that is? Well, I believe it addresses a profound need in every human heart of those who are alive on this earth, because there are so many dangers, real dangers, imagined dangers, distresses, change, the uncertainties of life. Many things can bring anxiety and fear. And so we want to feel comfort. We want to feel strength. And courage will give us that. Let's look a little bit. Take a bit of time to look at Jesus, the apostle of our faith. We know that He was very God and very man. He laid aside His godly attributes and was willing to humble Himself as the form of a servant, to be born of human flesh, and to take the punishment that mankind deserved. He's referred to as the second man, Adam. The first Adam sold us out, if you will, disobeyed God. And as God said, if you do this thing, if you disobey me, you and eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that you will surely die. And they did. And the only one to reverse that statement, that ultimatum, if you will, was to have a perfect sacrifice. And so Jesus came without sin. He was God. He laid aside his godly attributes, if you will, and became a man. And the works that he did, the miracles, the signs and wonders, before he ever entered public ministry, he spent time fasting with the Lord, 40 days, 40 nights, tempted of the devil, and he was baptized by John the Baptist. And then he went in the power of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit descended upon him. And that same protocol is true for us today, that when we accept Jesus, when we are willing to do the will of God, when we acknowledge him as the way, the truth, and the life, we can be empowered to do the works that he's called us to do, and even greater works, the Word of God says. So in his humanity, he bore in his suffering and with his death the need that, in fact, he was very, very human. This great miracle worker, the master, the rabbi, the teacher of God's way and the secrets of prayer, suddenly found, seemingly, that his own prayers were unanswered. He felt the isolation that even man could feel. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He who was sinless, he understood, he knew why he was coming to earth. And yet in those moments of terrible suffering on the cross, he felt forsaken of his God. And of course, that was not true. Not only that, he was deserted by his friends, by man. He found himself deserted by God when he said, Lord, why have you forsaken me? And then he yielded up his spirit. He said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. That was faith. He demonstrated courage in a way that we cannot fully understand. And I'm going to stop right here, but that was a tremendous moment in history. And we will pick up right here on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for joining me. If you have prayer needs, if you're going through a very difficult time, sometimes I think ministers go through a lot of things so we can relate to the needs of God's sheep, his people. And so I invite you to write, share those needs, and I will personally pray for you and send back what God gives to be a blessing to you. The announcer will give our contact information. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.